Hello, everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food. Thank you for joining me today. It's kind of a gray, cold, gloomy day outside here in New York City. And there are ways to get around gloomy days. The first thing is turn on the lights. And I'm thinking about the things that I'm grateful for, which is always a very good thing to do when you feel the gloom surround you. And electricity is a pretty awesome thing. And I'm also grateful for the power strip that I can plug all of my little gadgets into, especially when I'm doing this show. So there's my moment of gratitude. Lights. Shine the lights. We're lucky to have electricity, and we unfortunately take advantage of our resources on this planet. We're not really going to go there too much today, but I look forward to a day when we can use our resources wisely and sustainably. But for now, we're going to talk with my guest, Alana Kirschenbaum, about an exciting program that our favorite sanctuary, Catskill Animal Sanctuary, has put together called New Leaf, and I'm going to bring her right on. Alana, welcome.
Thank you so much, Karen. It's wonderful to be talking with you today.
Yeah, I'm glad we finally got to do this because we were going to chat in August, I think it was.
Yes.
And you had a little surprise arrive in your life.
I did. I became a mom.
And, congratulations.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's been a really exciting time, and my daughter is the love of my life. And it's been a big shift in my life, and I've wanted to become a mom for a long time. And so, I'm just glad that we were able to connect now.
Yeah. Well, it changes everything, and I wish you well with the excitement and ups and downs and everything that life brings and children bring. It's quite a journey.
Yes, it is. Thank you so much.
Okay, so let's talk about you first, your journey to where you got with Catskill Animal Sanctuary. I understand you've been vegan for over 20 years.
Yeah. I mean, when I was in high school many, many years ago, I started to learn about the plight of farmed animals and what was the kind of the story behind my food. And I was quite disturbed and shocked. And it was kind of this slow awakening. And I started to become vegetarian in high school. But it was a slow journey because I didn't know anyone else who was. And, you know, I didn't have a lot of support around me. And, you know, I think every vegan I've ever met says, I wish I had become vegan earlier. And so it wasn't until I was in my 20s when I was at another animal sanctuary, and I was pretty much almost vegan, but I learned about the plight of cows and the moms and babies for humans to consume their milk, and I was just immediately vegan when I learned that. I was still in the dark about that. And so, you know, I have a background in creative writing, social work, and teaching. My passion for other species and the planet and protecting them has been a sort of a thread throughout my life ever since I was a very, very young child. And so it isn't surprising to me that I've been rescuing animals for so many years. I co-founded Rhode Island Vegan Awareness, which is a nonprofit vegan advocacy organization. And I led that for 10 years. It's all volunteer run. And I, you know, moved to New York a number of years ago to work in an animal sanctuary. And I'm thrilled to have had the opportunity to develop and conceive of this mentor program because I feel that it's so needed for so many people who are interested in becoming vegan but don't know where to begin. So I've been vegan for over 20 years, and I'm thrilled to be aligning my life with my values and helping others to connect to the truth and help them in their journey as well.
That's wonderful. And congratulations for being vegan for as long as you've been vegan.
And
I always like to celebrate here learning of another vegan. It's like another light. Another light shining on us.
Yes.
I was talking about light before because it's kind of a gray, gloomy day. But when we talk about things like this, it's like a different kind of light to me.
Yeah, you know, I think every person that's vegan in this world or working on towards that is really bringing more light into the world and less suffering and more compassion. And we desperately need that.
Yes. Okay, so let's jump to New Leaf. What is it?
Well, New Leaf is a free vegan mentor program where we help people around the world become and stay vegan through the support of a mentor that they can work with one-on-one to help them with anything from meal ideas, shopping, recipes, dining out, nutrition, talking with family and friends, meeting other like-minded people. One of the things that we see over and over again, is people who come to the sanctuary or that we meet in our day-to-day life who say, I wish I could be vegan, or I want to be vegan, but I don't know what to do with this, or I don't know anyone in my life that's vegan, or I don't know what I'm going to eat, or I'm Italian, and how am I going to be vegan? And so, you know, so many roadblocks that people see, and it prevents them from taking that first step. Or they may try to take some steps, but then they hit this kind of impasse, or they feel overwhelmed, or they're not quite sure. You know, there's a lot of information out there, and sometimes it's hard to sift through it. And if you don't have the support around you, or your life's just busy, you know, you're working, or you're raising children, or whatever, sometimes to have someone to help you along this journey, to be by your side, to kind of cut through a lot of the information and answer your specific questions. We have found that, you know, mentoring is a really proven model in many different areas of life. And so we created this program. We have a very sophisticated software that we use to power it. And we also have a convenient cell phone app for people to use that are on the go. And so we're super excited because we launched last fall, meaning the fall of 2018, and we're now in 30 countries. And
wow.
So, you know, we hear from mentees and mentors all the time about how powerful the program is and how it's changed their life and made becoming vegan so much easier for people. And that's what we want, because a lot of people that start this journey give up. And we don't want that. We want them to get the support that they need. And so that's a little overview of the program. And you know, I'm happy to answer any other questions.
Yeah. So my first question is, who are the mentors and how do they qualify as a mentor?
So, well, the mentors are all committed vegans. And they have to be vegan for at least a year. And, you know, we ask, you know, everyone fills out an application and we ask different questions to assess their ability to sort of respect our approach, which is we welcome people wherever they are. So, for example, if someone wants to become vegetarian, we welcome people. So in this program, not everyone has an initial goal of becoming vegan.
Mm-hmm.
Our goal is to help people along the journey so that they move to that goal, but we don't want to turn them away if they want to become vegetarian or maybe they want to reduce their consumption of animals. Because what we found in the program so far is a number of people that have come into the program who don't have an initial goal of becoming vegan, after they begin working with a mentor, expand their goal. And we welcome people wherever they're at. And that's what we do. We want to open that door for them, welcome them in a non-judgmental way. And so we're looking for people who are able and willing to do that. And then, you know, we are looking for people who are willing to go through the training. We have an online training. And the training really prepares people for mentoring. There's various activities around effective communication, effective mentoring, you know, understanding just the program itself and our policies and how we work and how matching works in the program. So it really just prepares people for effective mentoring. So right now, because we have about 130 trained mentors right now, we have temporarily put a hold on accepting new mentor applications because we have so many. We've really been overwhelmed with interest from people who want to become mentors, which is super wonderful, and we're so grateful. But we put a temporary hold on accepting mentor applications because we have so many mentors right now, and we're welcoming participants who are interested in getting a mentor. The other thing is we also welcome people who are vegan, who identify as vegan, who want support. So that's what we look for in mentors, people who can really identify with our approach and respect what we're doing and use their personal experience to help people and guide them.
You mentioned that your program is in 30 countries around the world. Is everybody speaking English, or do you have some people who are speaking other languages as mentors?
No, right now the program is all English-speaking, and the platform that we have is only English-speaking. I would love to be able to expand to be a multilingual program, but right now we're not.
Sure. All right. And it's been a short time, it's only been about a year, so the people who have had the mentors, are there some things, like a thread of things that are the most difficult for them, or is it a wide range? Do you talk with the mentors about the issues that they discuss?
Yeah, so basically the way the program works is we check in with everyone and after their match begins, about 6 weeks after their match begins, and when the match closes, we check in with them again. And the things that seem to come up for people over and over again are shopping and what to eat, recipes, meal ideas, a lot of stuff around food. Not to say that there isn't, and some questions about nutrition. There's less about meeting other vegans. It's really about what do I eat? What do I eat? What do I make? How do I shop? Those seem to be some of the big concerns and questions that people have.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think it reflects our culture today, even worldwide, that people are less familiar with preparing their own food or knowing what is in the food that they purchase.
Yeah.
And so that adds a level of difficulty because they're changing the way they're eating, but they don't even know what they're eating.
I know. I mean, yeah, we're so disconnected from our food in many ways. I mean, even, you know, today I meet people, and when they learn that I'm vegan, they are like, well, what do you eat? How can you eat cheese or ice cream? And the markets now today are flooded with, you know, vegan, animal-free options for cheese and ice cream and milk. But there's still, you know, if you're not in that world and that's those aren't the products that you're selecting, you know, there's still a lack of awareness around them. And it's, you know, and if you're vegan, you know, you kind of know what are the really good products, or you can, you know, what are your favorite products, and you can really guide people to, you know, how to eat and what to eat. And working one-on-one with someone really allows you to get to know them and what they're, you know, one of the things that we do in our training is really help people to understand that asking questions is one of the best ways to mentor someone, really understanding where they're coming from and not making assumptions. Food is a huge hurdle for people. And it's a cultural thing, you know, how are we going to deal with the holidays? And how am I going to deal with family meals if I'm the only vegan and I'm cooking but no one else is vegan? And so there are a lot of issues around food.
I'm still kind of curious about the 30 countries that have been involved because the culture is different in every country. And I remember going to an International Vegetarian Union Congress conference, whatever you'd like to call it. I used to go to them, and one was in Brazil, and I I was doing a bunch of food demos at the time, and I put together some simple recipes, and there were some ingredients that they just didn't have. So I'm just wondering, does that play into this? Are you aware of that?
Well, you know, because our program is so young, and we have many people in various countries, but my goal is for us to have a large number of mentors in all of the countries that we have right now. Right now, many of our mentors are based in the U.S. We have some in the U.K., we have some in Australia, we have some in Mexico, we have some in other countries, but we don't have mentors necessarily in all the countries that we have had participant applications. And that is my goal, is long-term to have mentors more fully globally around the world, because they understand the culture that they're in. And we can train mentors to work with people in any area of the world, but there's challenges. You know, there's time zone challenges, there's the cultural challenges and not understanding all the foods necessarily of that culture. So that is one of our goals, is to increase the number of mentors in those other countries, because we're talking about countries that, like Madagascar, we've had, and Lithuania and Gibraltar. Like, we have countries we have applicants from every continent except Antarctica, and so that's a lot of different cultures.
And
one of the most unique things about our program right now, I don't believe any other vegan mentor program out there has this, is our participants can choose their own mentor. Most programs, you get assigned a mentor, but our mentees can choose their own mentor, which is really nice. And the platform, I can kind of relate it to a dating site in a sense, because the platform recommends matches to you based on your profile. So mentors and mentees both complete a detailed profile, and then the platform will recommend mentors to you that most closely match your profile.
I like it. Yeah. I like that people from all over the world are interested. It's so inspiring to know that there are vegans everywhere. Little beacons of light.
I know, and the thing everywhere. Is, you know, so many people still don't know about this program. And that's
sure.
one of the things that we're really
you?
Trying to do now, is to spread the word about it. And we're in 30 countries, and that's, we just touched the surface, you know. And it is very heartwarming to see such a widespread global interest in this.
Yes, I'm getting some cutting in and out, so I haven't heard everything you've said, but my question is, how do they find you? It's okay. It's probably the weather.
Yeah. Yeah, really.
Yeah, but I'm wondering, how do they find you all over the world? How do people find you? Do they tell you how they find you?
Yeah, you know, social media is, it seems to be the thing that spreads things like wildfire. And when people fill out their profiles, we ask them how they heard about the program. And so we have reports on that. And, you know, a lot of people will say Facebook or social media. That's a big percentage of people. And, you know, some people just find it by searching online, you know, vegan help or vegan support. So I think it's searching, independent searches, social media. There's some word of mouth. But the social media is a big piece.
I was thinking that this was a really good time to have you on the program, because the new year is coming. And I don't know if you saw it last year or not, but the new year's resolutions, Veganuary, this is the time when people are more motivated than the rest of the year to make change.
Yes, I agree with New Year's resolutions. And I think, you know, many people think that becoming vegan is going to be this really difficult journey and create a lot of challenges and obstacles for them. And we really want people to know that that doesn't have to be the case, that you know, we have this free support available to you, and you can work one-on-one with someone, and they can be by your side and support you every step of the way, even through the challenges, you know, and there's going to be bumps along the road, and it's okay. And I'm so excited to be on the show to talk about this. And I don't know if there's, you know, anyone that's listening now that has thought about becoming vegan or has questions. Maybe they're not sure they're ready to become vegan, but they might want to talk with someone about that. They can come to New Leaf, and we can match you with a mentor and get you connected to someone to talk with them. And I think having that one-on-one relationship really can break down a lot of barriers for people and help them realize, you know, that the mentor that they're talking with may have had some similar challenges as well when they became vegan. And that's okay.
It's a really wonderful idea. We need community. So many of us are always in our phones and online, and it's really hard to connect with people who are physically close to us.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that we've learned on this doing this program is that the matches that are the most robust and successful and most engaged are the ones that are talking and connecting on the phone or video chatting. And this is one of the reasons why we require mentors to make that a priority. Now, there are some people that may not need, they may have some just very quick needs to get them to reach their goal, and they may not need weekly phone calls, but most people that are coming to our program really will benefit from a weekly or biweekly check-in call where you can talk about how things are going, and it just allows for a more holistic relationship, and the back and forth organic conversation can really illuminate challenges, and you can talk about successes and questions and really get the information you need so you can be successful. So we're super excited. We are working to have the largest global network of mentors and serve thousands of people. And we hope to partner with other like-minded organizations and so that we can expand and realize the potential that this program has to change the world and help animals and the earth.
Well, we love Catskill Animal Sanctuary, and we're happy to help any way that we can. I have a nonprofit called Responsible Eating and Living at responsibleeatingandliving.com, and our missions are totally in line, and that's what we're here for, providing resources for people who want to transition to a healthier plant diet, and we need so many more groups and people. We need an army, army of love, and helping everybody through this transition, because changing the culture, changing the society is challenging.
It is challenging.
So how do people find New Leaf?
Well, you can go to newleafvegans.org, and you can find us there. You can also go to casanctuary.org and learn about our New Leaf Mentor Program there. So those two sites, you can learn about us, and you can fill out a very, very, it's a really simple application to join the program and get connected with a mentor. And, you know, the way it works is everyone has 2 weeks. There's a two-week open period to connect with a mentor and choose one. And then after that time, if you haven't chosen one, we can match you with one. You know, sometimes life gets busy and, you know, people get overwhelmed or they can't decide on their mentor. Maybe there's a... So we'll help you out if, you know, you haven't had a chance to choose your mentor, and then you can work with your mentor as long as you want. There's no time limit. It's not a 21-day program or a 30-day, you know, it's not a time-limited program. The mentors are there for as long as you need.
Excellent. It fits everyone's own individual schedules and needs, and I'm sure you're committed to help them make it work, however.
Yes, definitely.
However they need it to work. So
yeah, that's the beauty.
Yeah, just
of
to finish up, I just want to. Yeah, I mean, there are other programs, 21 day and 30 day, and they're in books, and so people can take their time and do those, you know, when they want to. But it's just nice to know that there's no pressure.
Yeah.
The only pressure there is that our climate is in danger. And a lot of it has to do with people eating animals. And the more people that stop eating animals, the better chance we have of saving the world as we know it, or maybe making it better.
I mean, it's the climate, it's the forests, you know, the rainforests, there are so many connections to our food and how we're harming the planet with how we're eating. And if people really, really understood the truth, I think we'd see a much quicker shift. But there are so many other societal pressures and corporations, and it's hard. It's hard to change society when we've gone down this path for this long. And but people are waking up, and I really hold on to the exciting wave of, you know, products that are on the market, money being invested in plant foods, and there's a real shift in the culture that I did not anticipate 20 years ago. And mm-hmm. It's happening slowly, but it's happening, and I hope that within the next 5 years, that if we're talking in 5 years, it's going to be a different culture. I really hope that.
I hope that too for you and me and for your little baby and for
for all the life on Earth, the planet, human and non-human, and
Well, Alana, thank you very much for joining me. I'm glad we had the opportunity to speak. I'm very excited to learn about the New Leaf program, and I'll be recommending it to a lot of people.
Thank you so much, Karen. It was so lovely to be on your podcast today.
Yeah, and happy holidays, and here's to a wonderful 2020. Lots of clarity and all that.
Same to you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye-bye.
Bye. That was Alana Kirschenbaum, who's overseeing the New Leaf Vegan Mentor Program at Catskill Animal Sanctuary. Who's interested? Who wants to sign up? Who wants to go vegan? Who has questions as a vegan and needs a little more support? This is where you go. It's awesome. Isn't it awesome? Okay, let's move to the second part of the program, which is me talking to you. And, you know, anytime you want to, we also offer individual support on this show and also at my nonprofit, ResponsibleEatingAndLiving.com. You can email me at info@realmeals.org. I've gotten some wonderful responses recently about this program, and about people who are indeed planning to transition for the new year. And some of those folks surprised me. I never thought that they would want to do that. And it takes a lot of patience, a lot of love, and a lot of understanding. And then at some point, the light goes on. People see the light, or they feel the light. And it doesn't have to be the light that we don't have today on this gloomy, rainy day in New York City. The light can come from you. Because we all have a light inside us. We all have energy. And if your energy is sincere and pure and true, it will reach people. I believe that. And we need lots of programs, and there are lots of programs, but I think this mentor program is quite exciting. What do you think? Let me know, info@realmeals.org. Okay, I have a list of things that I wanted to talk to you about today. First, let's talk about holidays. We just got through Thanksgiving. Everybody take a breath. Did you get through Thanksgiving thinking about all the things you were grateful for? That's an ongoing project. Every day we need to get up and think about the things we're grateful for. I know many people, and it happens to me from time to time, wake up with something called, that I call, the belly of dread. I don't talk about this too often. I think I've talked about it a few times on this program before, but I never really experienced the belly of dread until after I went through my cancer experience. I used to wake up every day happy and excited and jump out of bed. And I've talked to other people and they're pretty lucky that you did that. And now it's a little different. I wake up and I have a little intrepidation, and I go through the things that I'm grateful for, and it goes away, and I get up and I start the day. And it's a good practice. And there's a lot going on today, a lot of articles in the news about the anxiety that people have tomorrow in the United States. The House of Representatives is going to vote for impeachment of our president, and that comes with a lot of feeling, dark feelings, and we feel that. So some of the best things to do is really think of the good things, because there are so many good things. And unfortunately, when we read a lot of the media doesn't focus on the good things. That's not good clickbait most of the time. The clickbait is the sensational dark stuff. So we have to take a breath, step away from it, and think about the light, think about the gratitude. There are many things we can all be grateful for. And right now, I'm grateful for my cup of mate that I'm sipping on. That's good. I'm grateful for, I mentioned this last week, I think, the new hand cream that I've been making. I love it. It's made with shea butter, cocoa butter, and coconut oil. I like putting things on my body that I can eat. Not that I want to eat this, but it looks like whipped cream. And so that's fun. But it's a nice cream to use in the dry winter time. Okay, so the holidays. More holidays are coming. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever other holidays are coming. New Year's. It's kind of a fun time. It can be an anxious time for people. One of the things that I like to do is veganized recipes. I've been doing it for over 30 years. And there are always new things to veganize. And about 10 years ago, I started making things not only vegan but gluten-free. And that added another level of challenge. And now, I like challenging myself. I think that's it. But I always like to make things better. It's a journey. And just like in yoga, where you're doing a yoga pose, there's no correct pose. There's no end to a pose. You can always go deeper. You can always go further. And that's what I like to do with my vegan recipes. What I'm trying to do now is have as many whole or minimally processed ingredients in my recipes. Now, this is easy for salads and soups. But when it comes to treats, which are very important for the holidays, it gets a little more challenging. Now, I don't recommend consuming refined foods, sugar, white flour, all the sweeteners, maple syrup and honey and agave. I don't recommend consuming them on a regular basis. And you don't ever have to have them, but it can be okay for an occasional treat, for a celebration. And that's what I create my recipes for people who want a treat, an occasional treat, that's fun and festive, beautiful, and is also vegan and also accommodates people's sensitivities to foods like gluten, for example. Okay, so I love baking and I don't consume a lot of baked products, but I've been working on making a better gluten-free flour. So I used to buy Bob's Red Mill gluten-free flour, but it's not organic. And you may remember I was talking with a guest a few weeks ago, I think it was Bettina Elias Siegel, and we were talking about how garbanzo beans, garbanzo bean products, garbanzo bean flour, if not organic, can have a lot of glyphosate residue in it. I didn't know that. I mean, I knew that glyphosate residue is in conventional wheat products and oatmeal products, and it's so important to buy organic just for that reason. But then I started buying garbanzo bean flour that was organic. It's more expensive, but I focus my priorities on what's good for me, what's good for my family, what's good for the planet. And so I pay the extra price. In the long run, it's not that much more. And you're paying, you're investing in a future for your health and a future for the health of the planet. So back to the cookies. If you've ever used a gluten-free flour or made a gluten-free flour, because I've made my own as well, the recommendation is to use a bunch of different grains and starches. And I really didn't like using starches because they are another degree of processedness, and they are high glycemic and not really as good for you. Now, again, I know it's a treat. We're not talking about healthy foods, but I would like to make treats that are as healthy as possible, still with the same fun, decadence, richness, quality. So I've started making a flour with rolled oats, millet, and garbanzo bean flour. So I buy the garbanzo bean flour, but I take whole millet and I take rolled oats and I ground them into a flour in my Vitamix. So this is like getting as close to whole as I can. And it's been really working out as a mix in pie crusts. And the latest recipe that I'm finally getting around to telling you about is the cucciadati. Are you aware of cucciadati? Gary's been talking about cucciadati now for as long as I've known him. It's one of his family's popular Christmas cookies. It's an Italian fig cookie. I didn't know much about it, but I finally got his old family recipe. His sister had transcribed it along with many other recipes from his grandmother. And she describes transcribing the recipes because her grandmother didn't have specific measurements for things. You know, it was just like a handful of this and a little bit of that. Anyway, I took her recipe and I made it not only vegan, but gluten-free using this new gluten-free flour mix. And it's fantastic. I couldn't believe on the first try how wonderful these cookies were. So the filling, it's a fig cookie, but in this recipe, it has figs and dates and raisins and a little lemon zest. The traditional recipes typically add more sweetener like honey or a marmalade or something, and I left them out because the dried fruit is sweet enough, at least sweet enough for me. It does have chocolate chips in it, and chocolate chips do have a sugar in them. Anyway, it's a wonderful recipe. And it really isn't that difficult to make. Now, one of the tricks, if you've ever made cookies where you have to roll out the dough, I know people freak out when they have to roll things like making a pie crust. I find some of these gluten-free flours are easier because what I like to do is take the dough and I keep it pretty moist and sticky. And I keep it between two pieces of parchment paper or wax paper, and then you roll it out that way. That way you're not touching anything. And it rolls out really nicely that way. And the dough can be forgiving, where if there's a crack or something happens, you can just pinch it back together and it works. It's really quite good. Anyway, so I use this for this recipe, and I plan on using it for a number of other things. I don't know if you remember, I was just talking with my guest last week, Eileen Godofsky, and we were talking about her cookbook, and she had a Pop-Tart recipe in her cookbook. Well, guess what? I am going to make a Pop-Tart, and I think I'm going to do it this week, and I'm going to use this gluten-free recipe, because her Pop-Tart recipe, as clever and luscious as it is, was not gluten-free. And so for those people who can't consume gluten and want to be vegan, I'm here for you. And the kuchidati, this fig cookie, what I love about it is it's part of a tradition. And some traditions come with baggage. They come with things we don't want to carry forward into the future. But they also come with lots of wonderful memories and love. So I like to take the good part of a tradition and make it better. Leave the ugly part, like the animal products that go into your cookies. Leave them behind and make a better version, a more compassionate, cruelty-free version. So for this holiday, I hope you think about your traditions and think about what you like and what you don't like about them and how you might make them better. And if you have any recipes that aren't vegan or aren't gluten-free and you want to try making them, you can write me, info@realmeals.org. I will take on the challenge. I love doing this. And I'll see if I can help you. Okay, that's it for the kuchidati traditions and my gluten-free flour. Still on the theme of holidays, the world wants us to be consumers. In a capitalistic society, we have to keep the economy growing. We have to keep buying. We have to keep consuming. It's not sustainable. I know we're going to see change. I don't know how soon, but we cannot maintain this pace of economic growth and exploitation of people, of animals, and the planet. And unfortunately, our holidays, especially the ones coming up, are tied to consumerism. Everybody has to buy gifts for everybody. And many of us are overloaded with stuff. I was just horrified watching some commercials the other day. We were watching the Kennedy Center Honors Program, which is a wonderful event. I don't know if you saw it, where Linda Ronstadt and Sally Field and Earth, Wind & Fire and Michael Tilson Thomason were all honored. It was a wonderful show, but there were commercials, unfortunately. And the commercials were all about parents buying anything that their children wanted for the holidays. And that's not really a good thing. So what do we do when we want to keep the tradition? We want to get gifts, but we don't want to just get stuff. Well, one of the things I recommend is making cookies like the kuchidati and package them in a nice little box, maybe a box that you got somewhere else and you can reuse it. Because home baked goods are really lovely and beautiful and thoughtful, and they require a little love, a little extra energy. And they can make a wonderful gift. But I'm also thinking of some healthier things. So one of the things that I recommend, and this is a combination of being a consumer, but also doing something good for you and for your family, is to get something to purify your water. I'm specifically going to talk about water distillers because that's the choice that I've made. And I love the Aqua Nui distiller. We're hearing a lot of things about water all around the country, all around the world. There are places that don't have enough water. There are places that are flooded with too much water. And unfortunately, repairing the infrastructure of our society here in the United States and in other places is not a sexy thing to do. So we have pipes that are breaking, leaking, contaminated. And ultimately, they may not be bringing you water that's in the form that you want. And there are times when contaminants get into the water and it's short-lived, but you don't know about it. And it just comes right out of the tap. Hello. And you get to drink it. So I believe in purifying water at the source, at the tap, so that you're always getting clean water. And if you're familiar with the different types of purification, there are many kinds. The main reason I like the distiller is because the other systems, filtration and reverse osmosis, they require changing filters, changing membranes on a regular basis. And as soon as you use them, they start to degrade. You're not going to get the ideal purification as you did on the first pass. Whereas with this distillation, it's always the same. It's always good. As well, especially, there are different kinds of distillers. But it is true with Aquanui, and that's why I love it. And I will admit, it's a bit of a chore. Because every day we talk about going to the well. We empty out the distiller and give it a little rinse and fill it up again and let it go. And it takes about 5 or 6 hours to make a gallon. And it uses electricity. And I was talking about electricity before. I'm grateful for electricity. So those are some of the downsides. But I really believe I'm getting the best water I can. And water is so important. It's important on so many levels, and it's important to be pure. So if you're thinking about something, a gift for yourself, for your family, something like a water distiller, maybe it's not fun and sexy, but it does show where your interest in health for everyone in the long term is. And I just want to let you know that if you go to responsibleeatingandliving.com, that's where I live, and click on the Water Made Wonderful, give the gift of pure water on the right-hand side of the page, I can get you an extra 5%. It's not a lot, but it's something. And I can't say enough about it. Drinking water, clean water, is important. And don't think that getting your water in a bottle, in a plastic bottle, is a good thing, because it isn't. It takes so much water to get that water in the bottle. And then what do we do with those bottles? And what happens if the bottle gets warm and the polymers and the plastic degrade and leach into your water? It's not clean. And you don't even know how clean the water is that they put in those bottles. It's a sad state of affairs that we're in this highly civilized, highly technological society, that something as simple as water is so complicated. But that's where we're at. And I like to offer solutions. And this is the solution that I have chosen. And speaking of water, here's another one. Now, I'm not encouraging everybody go run out and get gadgets, but there are some gadgets that have benefit. So, occasionally I talk about dental hygiene. And I'm a frustrated person in that when I was young, I ate all of those sugary children's cereals. We thought they were good for us. I watched the commercials. I liked Captain Crunch. And Sugar Frosted Flakes, and Raisin Bran that had the sugar on it, and Frosted Mini Wheats, everything had sugar on it. And as a result, I got a bunch of cavities when I was a child in my permanent teeth. And over time, those fillings had to be replaced. They were silver amalgams with mercury in them. I had them all removed. But they don't last forever. And then you get crowns, and then at some point the crowns crack. And at some point, you might need root canal. It's just one thing after another. And I'm grateful that there are dentists and oral surgeons out there that can repair and take the pain away, because there's nothing worse than a toothache. I've had them, and I don't wish them on anyone. So I've been trying to be really careful brushing, flossing. For some reason, when I was growing up, I was not taught to floss. My mother doesn't have the best oral hygiene, and my dad had really great oral hygiene, but he didn't take the time to say, this is what you should be doing. I think he just thought we would follow his example, and it took me a long time to get there. And something I've just discovered is the Waterpik water flosser. I don't know if you use one, but it was kind of a sweet gift from my father. He didn't give it to me. He died in 2017, And I've been going through the house collecting his things and deciding what needs to go and give away. And my mom still lives in the house. And he had one of these Waterpik water flossers that I don't think he ever used. And I took it. And it wasn't until recently that I finally plugged it in, charged it, and used it. And I love it. And I know that Dr. Joel Fuhrman recommends using a water flosser for excellent oral hygiene. It's not that expensive. I'm sure there are sales. But I think this is a gadget worth having. Because when it comes to our adult teeth, they're the only pair we have, the only set we have. And we need them. We need them to masticate. We need them to chew our food and get the nutrients we need. So take care of your teeth. That's my wish to you. I also want to talk about dental floss. What kind of dental floss do you use? I'm always looking for vegan products, and I thought I was using a vegan dental floss, and I wasn't. I found out some time into it that it had beeswax on the fibers for flossing. And I discovered, after looking into it, that there's only one truly vegan dental floss, Ecodent floss. And what's cool about Ecodent floss is that it comes in a cardboard package. It's not plastic. And there are lots of products. I am trying to minimize the plastic in my life. It's really hard. But now I'm using Ecodent floss, which is coated with a vegetable wax. And I'm very happy with it. Have you tried it? Do you have some favorite oral hygiene suggestions? I'm very open to them. Send them to info@realmeals.org. I'm happy to share them with everyone. And we should all live long, prosper, and take care of our teeth. Yeah, it's not fun when we have teeth problems. Okay, we just have a couple minutes left. And I've mentioned Responsible Eating and Living a few times now. That's my nonprofit founded by myself and Gary DeMattei. Responsible Eating and Living is the organization that sponsors this particular program. It's all about food. And we also have videos and recipes and my What Vegans Eat blog for people who are transitioning to a vegan diet and don't know what to eat. You now have 1,770 daily posts about what Gary and I eat. And it's the end of the year. People are making donations, and I hope if you like this program or if you visit our website and like the resources that you will consider donating whatever you can. It's appreciated. The last thing I wanted to mention is we go almost every year to an annual cookie party in Manhattan. It's the annual vegan cookie swap. And if you're a new vegan or a not-so-new vegan, I highly recommend doing something like this, especially during the holidays. It was started by our friends Annie and Michael, and Michael used to be bugged by going to holiday parties and there would be nothing to eat. It's a little better these days, but it still can be problematic. We just went to a holiday party last week that had nothing, nothing at all. So sometimes you just have to eat before you go to a party so you're not going crazy. But how nice it is to be able to go to a holiday party and everything is vegan. And now this party's been going on for over a decade. And so some of the people who started going to the party who didn't have children now have young children. And some of them are, they're like 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 young children. And it's so delightful to see them running around, grabbing their cookies and treats like normal kids, but it's just vegan. And sometimes you want to pause at the party and say, can I eat this? Is this vegan? But everything there was vegan and so many different wonderful cookies. and in addition, savory items too. And more, there are vegan cheeses that people can buy as well as make. And there were about five or six of them with nice crackers. So we can have wonderful parties, wonderful party foods that are vegan. And if you're frustrated, you might think about organizing your own vegan holiday cookie swap party. So everybody brings their cookies, and you can bring a container and take like one of each and bring them home with you and try them. It's really, really a wonderful community event and a fun idea. How's that, everybody? Before we go, I just wanted to mention at ResponsibleEatingAndLiving.com, my website, we have a few videos up for you. One is my holiday Hanukkah latkes food show. I show you how to make baked, delicious potato pancakes, latkes, without frying them. They're easy and they're delicious. Save the oil for the lamp. That's what I like to say. And then we have Gary's wonderful menu of the Feast of the Seven Dishes instead of the Feast of the Seven Fishes. There's some fabulous recipes. Check them out. Let me know what you think. All right, we've come to an end of another It's All About Food. I'm so glad you're with me today. And I'll be back next week for, it'll be Christmas Eve and we'll be together. All right, thank you for joining me. I'm Karen Hartglass. This is